Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're joined in studio for his monthly visit to our program. He's attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. We're just so delighted to have and honored to have Mr. Luce as the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. I'm very proud of the 24 or so regular contributors to this program, including Mr. Luce, who's the author of two very popular books. He wrote Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. I believe, Don, first of all, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Bill.
I believe that book came out almost 10 years ago.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah. Hate to remind you that, but since then, the book has gone into second edition.
Yes, both of my books are in second editions, I'm proud to say.
The estate planning book in Arizona, What You Need to Know, that book fairly recently going into its second printing.
About a year and a half ago. Yes.
And both books doing very well. Lots to talk about, Don Luce, whenever the lawmakers are in Phoenix. We never have a shortage of material to talk with you about on the legal front. One story, Don, that caught my eye, the Arizona House of Representatives has approved barring anyone born male from playing on girls' sports teams. What's that all about?
Right. This is an interesting bill because it, in my estimation, has a defect. But before I get to the defect, you're absolutely right. Under this bill, if you're born biologically as a male, then you would be prohibited from participating in sports as a female. And the proponents of this bill say that it's designed essentially to protect Title IX, which refers to the federal civil rights law designed to give women equal opportunities in sports. They say that if you're born biologically as male, then you have an advantage just by reason of the fact that most males are stronger and have larger bone structures than females. So whether you agree with that or not, under this proposal, if you're born biologically male, you don't get to participate in interscholastic or intramural sports as a female. But here's where I think the defect is.
Yeah, what do you think the flaw is in this?
Okay, so who gets to challenge an athlete's gender, all right? And what's the process for the challenge? The legislation doesn't spell that out. Instead, it would give a separate right to sue any student who's deprived of an athletic opportunity or who suffers any harm because of the biological male, because a biological male participated in the sport reserved for girls or women. But exactly who can challenge an athlete's gender isn't spelled out. So does that mean that me as a parent, I can file a lawsuit under this proposal to challenge Sally's gender? And if I do, then isn't that a public record? Mm-hmm. And aren't education records supposed to be kept confidential?
Mm-hmm.
So I think those things need to be ironed out before this proposal goes any further. But again, it's now going to the Senate. It just got passed by the House. So this probably isn't going to be the final version, you know, if it does go any further. But I think that's one of the defects with the proposal.
That the process here, I'm looking at the bill, and it says it includes a description of a student's, quote, gender story. I guess that would be the age when they became aware of this difference. I don't even know how to put this.
Well,
the gender story.
And do you really want to? Okay, so as a matter of public policy, do you really want to get into that with student athletes who, by and large, are minors, you know, under
right.
the age of 18?
Right.
I'm not sure. And if you do, then how do you keep that information confidential, especially given the mandate that student records be kept confidential? So there are some issues surrounding this proposal that are problematic, and I think they need to be looked at before this goes any further. And if it becomes law, then those are the issues that are going to have to be resolved.
For years, it's been talked about that Arizona should have an elected lieutenant governor. We don't now. We have an elected secretary of state who in the chain of command is really kind of a de facto Don Luce lieutenant governor.
Well, in Arizona, unlike other states that have lieutenant governors, if our governor dies, resigns, is recalled, is impeached, is convicted, then the Secretary of State takes over.
But which has happened in not that far in the past.
In the last 20 years or so, it's happened twice.
Yeah.
In 1988, Governor Meekum mm-hmm. was impeached and convicted
yes.
and removed from office. And right. Rose Mofford, a Democrat, stepped in to take the governorship. In 2009, Janet Napolitano quit to mm-hmm. take a job in the Obama administration, and Republican Jan Brewer took her place.
Right,
so
right.
those are two examples of where the Secretary of State was affiliated with a different political party than the governor, but because the governor left office, in one case involuntarily, and in the other case voluntarily, the Secretary of State took over to serve the remainder of the term. Other states have a lieutenant governor system already in place. And what that looks like is each party's gubernatorial candidate picks a lieutenant governor. So you have two people on the same ticket running for governor and lieutenant governor. If the governor is removed or leaves office for any reason, then the lieutenant governor, who is of the same party, would then take over. We haven't had that in Arizona at any time. And in fact, this isn't a new idea. In 1994 and in 2010, voters both times rejected the idea of having a lieutenant governor. Now, interestingly, some of the reasons given in the past had to do with the fact that, look, lieutenant governor doesn't have anything to do, and mm-hmm. yet we're paying this person to serve in this official capacity. I suppose, although maybe the analogy isn't a great one, but like the vice president of the United States, you know, there's a person, in the on deck circle. So
right. In waiting. Yeah.
Under this proposal that is currently in the House, and it's a House Concurrent Resolution 2020, that wouldn't be the case. The lieutenant governor would also serve as the director of the State Department of Administration. So there would be a job for the lieutenant governor to do in addition to being the backup for the governor if for some reason the governor left office.
Representative Randy Freese, who we've had numerous times on this program, he is the assistant minority leader, said when people elect someone as governor, they also are voting for that person's political vision, Don Luce.
Well, and I think that's the strongest argument for having a lieutenant governor as opposed to picking the successor from another office, which may or may not be the same political party affiliation. And interestingly, this proposal appears to have bipartisan support. So unlike a lot of things that are happening in our political climate currently, I think that both parties are sort of in favor of this, and it's probably going to be on the November ballot for the voters to ultimately decide.
And again, this would be then, if it is on the ballot in November, Don Luce, this would be the third time that it has gone on the ballot.
Could right? be third yeah. time's a charm, right?
Voters rejected the lieutenant governor idea in 1994 and again in 2010. And I remember both of those campaigns. And I think that people just decided during those years that they just didn't see this extra layer of bureaucracy that was needed. I believe that was the case.
I think they thought of adding lieutenant governor as adding another executive officer that we don't have and maybe we don't really need.
Yep, I think that is the case. All right, Don, I do want to talk again about your two books. Where are they available? Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Where can people obtain these books?
The best place is Amazon.com. Both books are, as you mentioned earlier, in second printings, and I believe that both are fairly current and accurately reflect in material terms Arizona law.
Was there a major change in estate planning that you're very proud that was included in this with the second printing?
There was
several.
I'll tell you the one that I'm the proudest of, and I can't take any credit for it, is a good friend of mine said, "Hey, I love your book, but I'm administering my mother's trust estate, and it would be helpful if I had a checklist."
Oh, yes.
And so what I added was a trust administration checklist. And the second edition has it in the appendix.
Okay, Don Luce, thank you very much. Of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix.